and welcome to episode 19 of Tabletop Game Talk, a show where we talk about tabletop games of all types. I'm one of your hosts, Josh.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Kitty.
Today we'll be talking about metagaming and cheating in this meta episode of the podcast. Sure, we'll talk about metagaming and our favorite games, and we'll talk about crossing the line into cheating, but we're also going to talk about the podcast in a meta way. It's a meta episode, so let's go to our meta off-topic segment.
I want to do the meta. So what I was thinking is I wanted to do like a behind-the-scenes episode, but that had been very meta, so we could have called it a side chat. But we've also wanted to talk about cheating for a while. And I'm like, you know, metagaming, that's a thing. So we could combine all these things into one show. And you guys are staring at me like, this
we
is a terrible
idea. We have
no idea
what this means.
This is fine. I love meta things in life in general. So I'm going to love this episode.
It just reminds me of that episode of Community.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea.
Oh my God.
I've heard of Community, but I haven't seen the episode you're talking about. She doesn't even know how to go there. She's like, I don't even know how to explain this to these
morons. So, to be fair, I have this problem. I inherited it from my mother, where if you ask me to describe something, I'm going to go completely off the rails, in depth, describe the entire episode of the show, describe the entire plot of the movie, tell you all the good parts, all of my favorite parts. So I'm just trying to...
So we're just going to assume Community did a meta episode, and we'll leave it at that. Also, watch the D&D episodes. They're great.
The D&D episodes are so funny. I was trying to think of the character's name, the best character, and he's making a documentary, and his documentary becomes like so meta, and that's all he says the whole episode. But I cannot think. Danny Purdy is the actor who plays him, but I can't think of the character's name, and it's going to drive me crazy now. So I'm going to go Google this while you keep talking.
All right. Well, the whole point of the meta episode is we have a lot of new listeners. Thank you for joining us. If you like what you hear, please spread the word. But we wanted to kind of do a step back as to why we record the episodes the way we do, how this became. If you listen from episode 1 to episode 19, A, it's crazy that we're at episode 19. Abed.
Duh. Okay. Sorry, guys. I had a brain fart there.
Yep, back to Community.
I can hear everyone in our, like, 8 listeners being like, Abed! It's Abed, Kitty! But yes. I figured it out.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
So, yes, 19 episodes. It's amazing. So this has been 5 months now, right?
Wow, that's crazy. Really? Is it really?
Yeah. Like, if we divide 19 by 4, we get about 5...
Yeah.
So about 4.5, maybe 5 months.
I guess it was September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. And I don't think we've ever mentioned our last names on the show.
Right.
Like, I was just thinking about that today. I patron a few different podcasts, and I was listening to a podcast yesterday.
And
they were
podcast?
Saying my name. I was listening to Pandas Talking Games. Nice. They do a role-playing podcast, so they talk about role-playing games. I also, Gaming and BS, also role-playing games, and I patron both of them. And my last name is Steele. So they'll say, Chris Steele, whenever they're announcing my name.
Oh, that's cool.
And in this particular one, I've patroned them, and they're like... One of the hosts, she's like, and thanks to Chris Steele. And Phil is like, no, I think it's Chris Steele. And then they went through all the outtakes and said it like 15 different ways. I'm like, you know something? Nobody actually knows our last names.
Right.
So if you followed us on Twitter or Facebook or something,
I was going to say Facebook probably gives us away.
Yeah. But it's like, we just don't necessarily use our last names. We're not trying to become super famous.
Yeah
it's because I don't want a stalker.
Yeah, like that's too, yeah, you already have.
I'm really concerned about it.
So
I'm really
worried.
Stalkable, I guess.
Yeah. So Josh Phillips.
Yeah, double which, L.
Yeah.
Get it right.
I double L.
Not like the TV or electronics company, okay? Yeah,
I don't use your last
special
name.
Special Snowflake.
Ever? Flux Snowflake?
Yeah, Snowflux, Snowflake, either way.
I like it. So two L's, all right.
Yeah.
And Kitty Langley, although I met her
like
as,
Virginia.
Like Virginia, although I met her with a different L name, so I get them confused sometimes in my head.
So I'm if
like,
you ever hear Kitty LeBaron, that is my maiden name.
Yep. And we have day jobs as well.
And I took my maiden name as my middle name, so now my initials are one letter off from kill.
Wow.
Yeah.
Purpose.
I really wanted to throw an Irene in there. Just
do
to,
it.
I could have.
You,
but
you
it,
still
Irene,
can.
LeBaron
you can. You can do a name change.
Kill. Also, didn't feel quite right. I'm a little bit too meek to be a killer.
Yeah. Yeah, but we have day jobs. I'm a, I don't know what I am, a technical director is my title, but I basically figure out how to write codes for mobile application and tell other people how to do that. I used to write a lot of code. Kitty, you...
We've talked before on the podcast actually about my job because I work with kids and I talked about kids and games before. Yeah. So I teach preschool programs for the Chicago Park District. Yeah.
And I'm a web developer, which is pretty new career change for me. I'm enjoying it so far.
Used to teach English in Thailand.
I did. I used to teach English abroad in Thailand, Slovakia, and a bit in London as well. Good times, good fun. But now on to
the and some theater program. Theater in high school, college.
Yeah, I did. I love that. I mean, I'm starting an improv workshop group in January, which will be good fun.
You should once let me a know. Week. I want to do that.
Yeah, come and join. I'm not like it's not my own
right.
sort of class. I'm joining a paid class or whatever. But it'll be great fun. I love improv. And if you're into it, we need to go.
No, I always think that I'm good at improv, but as soon as you put me in the spotlight, I'm sure I'll be like
No, you would be great.
Pizza box.
Because you're winging this show every week. So, and that's all that improv is. It's making things up as you go along. And that's how I hear you D&D as well.
Yep.
Be the dungeon master. So you would actually be brilliant at this.
Well, and that gives us into the next segue. I don't edit the show. That I have edited it, but only 3 times in 19 episodes. The very first time was episode 9 when there was a sound mishap. And there weren't a lot of people listening back then. So I think there was like 12 people affected by it.
What was the sound mishap? Was it anything juicy?
That was where we couldn't hear Chris.
Yeah.
Oh.
You could just hear you and me talking. And Chris sounded like he was like all the way back in a little tunnel.
Because you could only hear me through your microphones.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. So what happened there was our mics had gone stereo. And when I mixed it down to mono, it cut out my mic.
Oh.
So I had to open up an Audacity and try to figure out what was going on there. So that was the first time I ever edited.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after it was actually released on iTunes. From that point on, I now listen to at least parts of the show before I post it.
To make sure that we can hear everybody.
Yeah. The intro, the outro, and I listen to a couple samples in the middle. I've also edited for content twice. Right. When we announced our holiday contest, we had absolutely no idea when we were going to put the deadline, and
I chose poorly.
Yeah, it went from Kitty's like next Tuesday. I'm like, maybe we should have
three
a few
weeks
words.
From now. Yeah.
So I cut that out, and that episode had run long because we had Spencer with us, and so I was like, okay, well, I started cutting that out. And I'm like, maybe I can cut out some of these silences and shorten it. It took me 2.5 hours to cut out about a minute.
Oh my!
And
God.
I'm like, okay,
so
this
we don't
is why
do
I don't
that
edit.
Anymore.
Yeah. And then we edited last week right. because we accidentally misnumbered the episode. So
Chris didn't finish our show notes last
week.
Yeah,
we'll get to show notes in a second. But Josh read episodes.
I'm not one of those terrible politicians who just reads the teleprompter exactly.
It's not your fault. I don't ask you guys.
No,
to
but I
these.
I should have remembered it was 18.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
None of us did though until 45 minutes later when we were like,
actually,
wait,
I think it was
second.
Me that remembered. So I'll give myself.
It was
a
you.
Yes. For that.
Yeah, so we recorded just the music and intro where Josh was talking, and that's why if you listen to last week's, 18 is very emphasized. Episode 18. But the point I'm trying to get at is we don't edit on purpose. Well, there's 2 reasons. One, I want to stay interested in doing the podcast, and if we record for an hour and I have to edit for 2 to 4 hours after every one, I'm going to lose interest in it.
Yeah.
Two...
That seems more like a meticulous Kitty kind of thing. If you want to pass that off to me ever.
Yeah. Well, it's a rule of thumb, though. You're at least doubling the amount of time, but it's usually triple to quadruple. And it depends on what you're editing. Two, though, I don't want to give us the excuse to start over.
Yeah.
If we can always keep retaking, we're going to retake.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it feels more organic when we make mistakes.
It's more interesting and fun.
Anyone who listened to our outro
last week's outro was the best outro we've ever done. So you can just go and skip right to that outro. Just enjoy it.
The rest of the episode is okay. But those last 5 minutes, really.
The whole episode was great. You guys had finished off a bottle of wine between you two, so... It I had really, a lot of color to it.
Yeah.
I feel bad because we talked to Jen and Sarah, and Jen and Sarah were the people who gave us the feedback of more Josh. We want to hear more British accent. Yeah. And we really just talked over you.
Oh, no, honestly, it's fine. I was just jealous. I wasn't getting involved in the alcohol train, but I was like, I am not going to sleep. And it was like Sunday night. I was like, I need to sleep before work tomorrow.
I know. Usually I'm the responsible one, but I've taken off a lot of days for the next few weeks with the holidays coming up.
Literally the next time we record and I know I'm not getting up the next day, I will be drinking.
All right.
I think next time we all don't have to get up the next day, we should do like a games you can play while you're wasted episode.
We'll do an episode on drinking games, and we will definitely preface this with, this is an episode on drinking games.
Right.
Oh, that's actually one more. I did add a disclaimer to our Halloween episode because after listening to it, it got a little creepy. But I don't consider that.
It got too creepy for me.
Yeah. I don't consider that editing, though, just because I had Aphonic, which is the website I use to do all the normalization. I just had it put the clip that I'd recorded in front of it. So I didn't actually modify the initial the original audio at all.
Nice.
But takes us to notes. Every week, I put together the intros and the segment switches, and then the outro, and they're basically standard, so I'll copy, paste, and then modify, and that's how we did an episode 17 twice in a row, where you had to re-record the 18, because I copied, pasted, and I forgot to modify the episode number. And then I'll go through and modify it. Most are off topic. We have much better notes in that segment than we do on topic. On topic, I just have organic conversation in brackets, and we just kind of go. Sometimes I'll put some topic notes in there, things I want to cover, but mostly it's kind of that.
I'm going to call you out on one of your topic notes later, but I'm saving it, holding on to it.
And if Chris is really lucky, we'll actually read the notes before we even do the podcast, me and Kitty.
It's usually while one of us is doing something, the other one.
You'll get there eventually.
Reads the notes.
So a few things, and again, just because we're meta, we're not going to take a long time. So I promise within the next 9 to 10 minutes, we'll be into our actual topics. But we chose an hour because it gives us enough time to talk about a subject, but not so long that, you know, you can't listen to it in a long commute or maybe on your way to and from work or something. I listen to some podcasts that are like 2+ hours and I just can't keep up with them.
Right.
But I like the hour length. Like, my commute to work's about an hour, so I listen to a lot of hours.
I like at the beginning, we were going to do 45 minutes to an hour, and it's always like, now it's like an hour, hour 10 minutes.
Well, we've only had 115 once. Most of them are right around an hour. Last week, we had an hour 8-ish, I think. So I try to keep it under an hour.
Well, plus we have the on-topic and off-topic, which is a nice, you know, big chunk. Normally, it's like half and half, I would say. So, you know, if you're more interested in one or the other, you can, you know, skip, around if you wanted to. So that's a nice little structure we've got going there.
Honestly, so one of the reasons we're doing this episode is because we want to get some feedback from you guys on what you like, what you don't like. If you want me to put in the show notes, we went on topic at 22:50, you know, like the actual minute to skip to, because you really hate all the off-topic talk. By all means, I can do that. Just if one person requests it, I'll put it in there.
Right.
But the off-topic, and we've mentioned this a little bit, is kind of an excuse for us to talk about a variety of different games. So those people who aren't interested in maybe the actual topic of the day, you can still kind of get a feel for new games or games we played. And we are going to do those today as well. We have
I'm really excited about today's game.
Reign of Cthulhu, the pandemic version. We're going to talk about that. We do have some feedback from listeners and things like that. So we're going to do that too, but we're going way meta first. So, yeah. And if anyone has any comments on the length of it or things that you think, we have a couple things. We have a few recommendations. YouTube channel. Some people would like us to watch us be, you know, either watch us record or record live or watch us play a game. All of those things are considerations. We just have to find the right time to do it.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely do a video at some point. Yeah.
We have to give Kitty a 2-hour heads up so that I can put my hair down and do my makeup, put in my contacts so I look more like the cartoon of me and less like I do right now, which is just a hot mess.
Well, it's actually kind of interesting. If you look at our logo, those are likenesses of us. Josh is almost spot on. He might not disagree.
Josh is like a human cartoon character, like really in real life. Like, sorry to bring up another TV show reference, but the episode of 30 Rock where they're doing the HD filming and Kenneth walks in front of the camera and he looks like a Muppet in HD. Yeah. You're like that, but you look like your cartoon character on our logo.
Josh looks like our logo. He does. Uh-huh. I look like a younger, skinnier of myself on the logo. So I'm good. Kitty's not bad. I think your hair is a bit fuller in the logo. Or maybe it's just always back when I see you.
I don't ever brush my hair, I think is what really happens in real life.
So, and who wants to brush their hair? But I'm with you on that one.
We sit in that formation. Hair. Like, if you were to look in the window, which is to my right now, you would see exactly the formation.
Oh, yeah.
Is it really like that? Or are we sat in the right
positions. No, if you're looking in for the mirror, I'm on the left, Josh is on the right, you're in the back.
That's right.
That's so weird because we didn't even think about
that. I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you saw the mic.
When I saw the logo, I knew exactly what the format was. I put her,
That's why he put the pink mic here. Yep. Speaking of meta, Chris has a blue mic, Josh has an orange one, and I have a pink one.
Yep. And I actually had showed Tristan when I did the mock-up of the different colors, but she just made them all black. So I'm like, all right. Tristan Dunman, she did our logo. For the first 15 episodes, she was also in our outro. But just to kind of shorten that outro a little bit, I removed her. But we still appreciate her. And
we really liked her work, and she did a great job.
Yep. So, yeah, and there's some of the recommendations. BGG Guild, we do have a BGG Guild. It's not very active, but we do have a podcast on there. That's
BoardGameGeek.com,
BoardGameGeek.com. The podcast shows up there. Mm-hmm. I go in periodically and link to different games. So we do have that. We have the Board Game Geek podcast, the Guild. We have a Google Plus forum, which nobody's using. We have
Facebook's where it's at for our thing because Kitty's doing a really good job of managing
Addict. I'm on Facebook a lot.
Yeah. So I think what we're doing is starting to split up roles a little bit. Kitty's managing Facebook. Josh, I know you started a Reddit.
I did.
So as you know, I don't know if we have like our own Reddit channel. You'll have to...
No, not yet. We're not that big, but I keep posting to the board game subreddit.
So I'm going to still keep bugging Josh to get our own designated Reddit channel and see how that works.
That's not how it works.
No,
that's not what Reddit does.
I don't know how Reddit works.
You can start one. Yeah. You can start one, but it's just we're not big enough to warrant one.
Better to be where the people are.
All right, exactly. Fair. She's right.
Fair. And I'm usually on Twitter, which is ironic because I'd never used Twitter before I did the podcast, but now I'm like kind of addicted to it. So
you were blowing up my Twitter this week.
Yeah.
That was the most tweets I've had in like years.
We added the Tabletop Game Talk Twitter handle. So in order to pull people over so they know to follow that now, I took that handle and followed everyone I'm following and everyone who's following me. So we got a lot of like follow backs. Right. And then I tweeted out to the Misdirected Mark, which is the Pandas Talking Games. And Kitty and Josh were kind of in that conversation. So they kept getting pinged on that one too.
Mm-hmm.
So, really what this all comes down to is we want to hear from you guys what you like. This is the last episode of the year, by the way. Hope you had a great Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy whatever holidays you spend. And also looking forward to New Year's. New Year's Eve. Meta. This is actually being recorded before Christmas because we're not going to be in one place in Christmas. So, but this is being aired after Christmas. So hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, including ourselves. So past selves telling future selves to hope you had a good Christmas. But yes, if you have any recommendations or anything you like or don't like, please just send us an email. Let us know.
Yeah. We love damn emails.
Yep. We do. And the off-topic segment came from a listener suggestion.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. So, and I like Kitty's.
We do take it.
Yeah. Last week, Kitty's like, the more you tell us what you like, the more the podcast will become something you like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully you like most of it anyway. I want to see an email saying, you know, you guys should just talk about puppies for an hour.
Oh, I would so do that. I can hear my puppy upstairs. I'm sorry if you guys can, too. Yeah. He's not happy with being crated.
Well, that's another thing, too. Every once in a while, we do have background noise. So we live in Chicago. My building faces a busy intersection.
Your building?
Our building.
Thank you.
My living room wall. So sometimes sirens go by, sometimes there's dogs next door, sometimes my furnace kicks on in the background. All of these things I'm aware of, and every time I listen to every single one of our podcasts, and when I listen to it and I hear that, I'm like, oh, there's no way to really edit that out, but like I said, I probably wouldn't anyway. We're going to look at different places to possibly record in the future to see if we can't get some, rid of some of the background noise. So
Chris is building a sound booth in our basement is what I just heard.
I am actually seriously considering that.
Oh, wow. Yep. This is the first time hearing of this. Exciting stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're doing the gym downstairs. So once that's there, it's like, you know, we're not that far away
you from making a sound booth. You just have to get Spencer to move all of our stuff into one of the two extra rooms.
Yep. So, all right. Back to our regularly scheduled podcast. I know we're 20 minutes in, and I promise that the majority of our off-topic is relatively short. I do want to announce we're going to be doing an episode on questions. And questions and feedbacks, comments, whatever the case is, that's going to happen January 8th, so 2 episodes from now. Email us your questions. We have a few questions already that I'm looking forward to answering. We'll probably answer some generic questions like what our favorite games are. You know, when someone asks us on the street what, you know, oh, you have a podcast, what is it? You know, kind of those kind of questions. But I want to hear from you guys, like, what do you want to know? It could be about us. It could be about games. It can be about anything. We're happy to answer them. Finally, we do have a couple bits of feedback. I want to mention an iTunes review from Wolf Warp. One.
I know who that is. Thanks, Tony.
I figured you would because he specifically mentions he likes the addition of Kitty and he's looking forward to game recommendations.
Ah, thanks.
So I'm like, all right, who did Kitty pay for this one?
I didn't. This is an organic one. But yep. Still, thanks, Tony.
But thank you, yes. We also, Josh, are you looking? Do you want to read the feedback?
Yeah, sure. Right, we're talking about Jordan. Ooh, I'm going to get this wrong. God.
Scahetti?
Yeah, Scahetti. Yeah, it sounds kind of Italian, maybe. Yeah. I'm just taking a stab here. Sorry if I've offended spaghetti. Anyone. It's not. So, Jordan Scahetti says, I love your show, guys. Keep up the great work. Even if I'm not all that interested in a particular subject, I still listen because I enjoy the dialogue and the fun you guys sound like you're having.
All right, so this is basically where his email stopped, and which is fine. And then I put a comment on there, and I had to stop Josh before he read my comment in the notes because I didn't change the color.
Yes,
we're going better today.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So I was thinking, like, oh man, I really wish that the topic was interesting for him. What could we do? And then I started thinking, and I'm like, I listen to a lot of podcasts where I may not be interested in the topic,
yeah,
but I really like listening to the dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is like a huge compliment that it's like, I don't care about your meta podcast or cheating in games or anything, but you guys are somewhat interesting and not appalling to listen to. Also, I'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
I like that we got that feedback before we set out the episode where I was like, pretty drunk. Otherwise, yeah. I'd just be like, people only like the drunk me.
I mean, it sounds like you're still drunk with a feed cat going on.
I was choking.
Yes. New games or Kickstarters this week because it's only been 3 days since we recorded our last episode.
And you still didn't buy a game in 3 days. That's still surprising, Chris.
I did not.
A little bit.
Yeah. So what's interesting is a lot of weekly podcasts will record 2 episodes back to back. So they only record every other week. We record every week. Now, that day has to change because we record every week and when holidays get in the way and stuff like that. But we do record every week. And I want to do that because I want to build that community and get that feedback. So that's one of the reasons why sometimes we have to switch those times. Mm-hmm. Another interesting thing, and I think I've implied it, is we're always in the same room. We have yet to do anything over a Skype recording or anything like that.
Oh, God. I'm not looking forward to the day when we try that and it goes horribly wrong.
I have the right equipment ready. I think it would work.
Yeah.
But as long as we can be in the same room,
it's the connection I'm worried about the most.
Yeah. But.
Also, I feel like we wouldn't have our same dynamic. We spend, we usually play a game for 45 minutes to like
2 hours to 3 hours.
Yep. Sometimes. Yeah. We like hang out and warm up and we often talk about what our topic is going to be and discuss a little bit what we're going to discuss.
But not too much. A lot of times we spend, let's save it for the podcast.
Save it for the podcast. Right. I did that today and I already forgot what it was.
Yep. Well, Reign of Cthulhu. We were going to talk about it, whether or not we liked it right after it. And he's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. We're going to save it for the podcast. Mm-hmm. And now's the time. So Reign of Cthulhu, which is the pandemic. It's titled Pandemic, Reign of Cthulhu. This is pandemic-like, but so much different than pandemic that if you left off the pandemic title, you would say, oh, they got this idea from pandemic.
See, I'm gonna challenge you on that a little bit. And this is really funny because in the Dice Tower, if listeners don't know what the Dice Tower is, this amazing number one sort of podcast on board games, they did their YouTube video of their top 10 2016 games.
Yep.
And Z had Cthulhu Pandemic as one of his top 10, and the other guys blew up because they were like, this is just a game that's been released other times. He's like, no, it's a completely different game.
It's not the same.
But hang on, I kind of agree. I think it's similar. I don't think it's crazy wildly different.
I don't think it's crazy wildly different. We were talking deck building games last week, and we were saying all the similarities there. Mm-hmm. This is different, more different from original Pandemic than many deck building games are from each other.
What I was going to say was, all right, spoiler maybe, like very, very little spoiler, teeny tiny.
What are we spoiling?
Pandemic Legacy. But not a real one. Careful. Not a real one. Okay. I'm giving a lot of warning. We've given you like 30 seconds to earmuff. This is only going to be at most 1 minute of me talking about Pandemic Legacy.
And it's going to be a minor spoiler at that because we can't go past June.
If even. It reminded me more of Pandemic Legacy because of the kind of piece you put on the board.
Okay.
That there's one kind of piece as opposed to many kinds of piece. And that's not even what really happens in Pandemic Legacy. It's kind of something that sort of maybe you should just go play Pandemic Legacy.
I think it's just, you know, there are definitely similarities there. You know, you are moving around this board. You're clearing out things, much like you are okay, they're not disease, but you're clearing things out. You can sacrifice cards to move around. You can swap cards between you. There's tons of stuff that's the same. Oh, sure, there's some things that are different.
Okay.
I agree.
So let's do a quick, Pandemic Cthulhu compared to actual Pandemic. So we're going to say that. If you play Pandemic.
Legacy's out. We're done with that now.
In Pandemic, you have four different diseases. And this is not an argument to Josh or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just describing the differences and what Reign of Cthulhu is.
Yeah.
In Pandemic, you have four different diseases you're trying to cure. And there's four different colors of cubes. In Cthulhu, there are cultists that are going out. They're not color-based. They're just coming out on the board. There are four different cities in Cthulhu where your cultists will show up. And if you ever have three cultists on a spot and a new cultist shows up, it doesn't trigger an outbreak like in Pandemic. It actually advances what could be considered the epidemic line by one step. Mm-hmm. That reveals another elder god, which has another permanent effect of some sort. It may be a temporary, it may be a lasting effect. So you're getting closer and closer to Cthulhu being summoned.
Yeah.
The goal in Cthulhu is to get to four locations on the board, and that's where you turn in your five cards. It's very similar to Pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I need five red cards to close the red gate, five blue cards to close the blue gate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once all the gates are closed, you win. There's also Shoggoths, which are three big figures that show up on the board, and they're attempting to get to a gate. And if they get to a gate and get to move into the gate, they also reveal an elder, again, quickening the end of the game. There are relics that when you use them, they're very similar to the action cards in Pandemic, but you roll a sanity die and you can actually lose sanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anytime you use a relic.
Anytime you use a relic or anytime you enter a Shoggoth
spot
location or a Shoggoth enters your location.
Or you use a gate so you can teleport from one gate to another gate on the board.
We didn't actually use that.
That's because we had the card that made us not be able to use it very early on. What? One of the Elder Gods.
It was two or three in,
it was I think it was the second card. The Elder God's like, yep, you can't do this anymore. So there you have the sanity die that you roll when you do certain things. It can call more cultists. It can make you insane. If you go insane, you lose an action and your power becomes something slightly different.
Slightly lesser.
Yes. So I had I was the driver. I could move one or two spaces whenever I walked. But if I went insane, I could only ever move two spaces. So even being insane, you can still play. If you like Cthulhu and you like cooperative games, I think there's a lot to this game that you would like.
Yeah. I liked the styling. It had a very like 1920s, 1930s feel. Mm. Everyone was running around in trench coats with their like six shooters out, wearing fedoras. That was kind of fun. I thought it was really cool, except that it really confused me that all of the locations were not like tied to a real life map. They were just these like made up places. It was a lot harder to set the cubes or the cultists on the board.
Yeah.
Was we just like, they're like, the old mill is, oh, there it is. Yeah. Like, yeah, well, there's the a lot of about kind of looking around.
Maybe half the size too.
It's smaller. It's
half the number of locations.
You have many, many less cultists than you have cubes, disease yep. cubes. Yep. I feel like Pandemic has a ton of disease cubes and there were not very many.
Yeah. Well, the other thing to it too is you don't have, your clue cards are tied to a town. So there's only four towns in the game and each town has, I think, like 7 or 8 different locations, one of them being the gate location.
Mm-hmm.
But your clue cards, which are your, would be your city cards in mm-hmm. Pandemic, they're just a single color. They reference the card, not a location.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to trade with somebody, you just have to be
It was much yeah. easier to trade.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Much easier to get around because you just go to the bus station and you can basically play a color of the bus station you're on. You can go to any other space on the board.
Yeah.
But so, you couldn't just, like, there was a lot of, you in Pandemic, you can just discard to go to the city, no matter where you are. If you have the city card, right. you can discard to go there. Or if you have the city you're in, you can discard to go anywhere. It was a little bit trickier because you had to be in a couple different spots.
Yeah, each city had a bus station. Some cities had two. And you had to be at a bus station in order to use what would be considered a direct flight or an indirect flight mm-hmm. in Pandemic.
And so, it played a lot quicker, I felt, which I really mm-hmm. liked. You yep. know, you could get through a game faster than you could in normal Pandemic.
Yeah. Now, Josh, so you're the one that thinks it's the more similar.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a twist on Pandemic, but, you know, it is a reskin with some extra twists around the corners. Like, it's not a completely different game. If you took away the name, yeah. you know, you wouldn't feel anything different. To me, there is a lot of similarities yeah. and some differences.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that it's a reskin.
Okay.
I thought it felt easier.
It did feel easy.
Mm.
But that might just be because we happened to win this yeah. time.
We are
after
awesome.
We won. I know yeah. we won. And it felt so good.
Yeah.
But after we won, we went through and kind of looked. We realized we weren't using one of the mechanics that would have helped us. We were not drawing relic cards when we got rid of a Shoggoth.
Yep.
Which would have given us 3 or 4 more relics, which are kind of powerful cards.
Yep.
A lot more of those than there are the action cards in Pandemic. But when you use them, you do have to roll that yeah. sanity
and
die.
And we got lucky with the sanity die.
We got super lucky with the sanity die.
We did.
But we also accidentally, summoned an Elder God.
Yes.
So, when we shouldn't have.
Yep.
We advanced ourselves one further.
Yeah. I will say there were a couple questions we had with the rules. One, whether or not the Shoggoth counts as a cultist or counts as 3 cultists. Or doesn't count as a cultist at all when you're dealing with whether or not you should reveal an Elder God. We think that it doesn't count as anything at all. Another one is when you close a gate, the token has an X on one side and a symbol on the other. And we're not really sure what those are for because there's a place on the board where you put unclosed gate tokens and then you move those tokens. And it's just really unclear why there's a pentagram on one side and a cross on the other. So, but all in all, it was a pretty fun game.
Oh, I had a great fun. Yeah.
So, all right. Let's go on topic and see what happens. So here we go.
In this episode, we've already talked meta about the podcast, but now we're going to talk about metagaming our games. Is it cheating? Does it add fun or take away from it? Chris, what is metagaming anyway?
Yeah, so I want to give a quick definition. We don't normally do definitions, but metagaming to me is using information outside the game that you normally wouldn't have to play a game inside the game. It can be borderline cheating, which I think it couples well with that cheating and that crossing the line.
Yeah.
Kitty will call me out on one of them, but I'll let her do that. One of the examples I wrote in here is and this is a very, very simple example. If I always know Josh picks paper in paper, rock, scissors, I am metagaming if I go scissors.
Do you mean rock, paper, scissors?
Whatever that name is. Rochambeau.
Every time.
Every time. So another one is if you're playing werewolf or one night werewolf or anything where you have your eyes closed. Oh, I felt so-and-so move. Therefore, they must be such and such.
Well, we were playing this game Insider the other day and you have your roll chips in front of you. And I used an argument. Someone was being really cavalier with their roll chip. They were like picking it up, moving it around. And someone who was the insider wouldn't be that cavalier right. with mm-hmm. their chip.
Yep.
And that was metagaming right there.
Exactly. You know? Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of thing that's metagaming. And Kitty, do
I like
you wanna...
to throw it off. I like move around in my seat all the time. I'm just like, I'm going to nod my head. I probably look like Stevie Wonder while we're like yep, all awesome. Asleep because I'm like, I'm going to throw this up because I know that people listen.
Yeah. So I have the topics to cover bullet points and Kitty seems to like one of them. So
it says, I'll buy you a cookie if you don't take over my area there. And that was the first thing I read in our topics to cover.
It was basically specifically but for yeah. Kitty. But that's a kind of metagaming where you're using an offer outside the game to manipulate the game itself.
Right. So you're bribing people. Has that yeah. ever
it
happened?
It makes me crazy when I'm sitting at the table. It some Have games you? Like encourage this kind of behavior.
Right, right.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, you know, make deals, you right, know, yeah. do what you need to with other people. I'm not sure that the cookie falls into that, yeah, though. Yeah,
making a deal inside the game. Like, so you're specifically speaking like Cosmic Encounter or even Monopoly, if you want to go that way. Making deals where it's part of the game isn't metagaming. Unless the deal is outside of the, you know, boundaries of what that game is set to do.
Unless the cookie came in the box.
Exactly. It doesn't count. So Monopoly will use that as a good example of this. If I say I will give you 200 money for right. your particular property
yep.
and you say no, sweeten the deal. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll give you 200 money. And for the next three times you land on it, I won't charge you for it.
Can that, you even do that? Isn't that the first, breaking the
that's
rules?
That's the point. The first one is well within the realm of the rules.
Uh-huh.
The second one is a non-binding deal. It could be considered meta. You're crossing a line at that yeah. point.
And the other
it's
players
not
might...
specifically prohibited in the rules, but is it?
Isn't it?
It is not enforceable.
I don't know.
I haven't read the
it's
rules
not
in
enforceable
a long time.
By the rules. All deals must be transacted in that one transaction. Any future thing is not enforceable by the rules. Yeah. It's not part of the rules.
But surely... Yeah, but maybe I'm saying, is it enforced by the rules that you have to pay the person when you land on their thing? It doesn't matter what they said in their little
that's
deal
actually,
section.
That's actually a really good question. I don't think you
have
to. I
don't think anyone has read the rules.
Exactly.
Of Monopoly
yeah. It doesn't really matter.
The last
but I'm
10
just,
years.
Yeah.
But
it's,
yeah.
it's interesting to know because, like, you know, you could try and meta deal something and then find out, actually, this is just breaking the rules.
Yes.
We're yeah. cheating right now.
Yep. Uh-huh. So, but something for Cosmic Encounters where the whole thing is about negotiation. Again, even in that game,
yep.
all negotiations, anything is only binding in that actual transaction. Outside of that, doesn't count. So you can't be like, all right, that's it. You're sleeping on the couch tonight if you don't ally with me.
Well, you totally could do that.
You could.
Yeah.
But it's metagaming. It's not playing the game right. as mm-hmm. is.
Right.
So that's kind of what we mean by metagaming.
I mean, I like the idea of metagaming. I used to play online this game that's a variant of Risk called Warlight, which is mm-hmm. a fantastic game. And I've talked about it before. It's like Risk, but you're using Fog of War. And mm-hmm. you can only attack and kill the spaces immediately next to all your territories. Mm-hmm. So you can't go on a flood rampage throughout the whole board. And there was tons of forums, and it was like PvP. So I got to know people on the leaderboard. Like, I broke into the top 20 and we all knew who we were, and there'd be forums talking about things. There'd be forums talking about players' game styles. So it was like, oh, Angel Boy 61 over there, he's really changed his style. Like, playing him now isn't like playing him 3 months ago. And you could go and look at people's games. You could go and study all of their previous games to learn about their play style. And that's the kind of thing I would do to get really yeah. good.
Well, I'm wondering, is that really metagaming, or is that researching play
style? I was going to call you out on this, Chris, because we talked about this a little bit in the last podcast. Dice Masters, I did not have the time to put into the research, and you could kill me every single time. Is that metagaming, or is it just knowing the game well?
I think so. There's that fine line between yeah. researching something and using out-of-game information in-game. So I think really where it comes down is if you're playing the game and you're using something you shouldn't know in the game, that's metagaming.
Right.
And it's not necessarily bad. Like researching how someone plays risks, plural, there's no plural there. And research someone who plays Risk, that is actually just kind of doing research. It's the same thing that professional sports teams do.
Yeah,
scouting out other teams.
Some people would argue that's meta, though, because You're not playing the game purely. You know, you're not playing just the rules.
Yeah.
So meta is like a weird. It's the gray area between following the rules and cheating. And I like to stay all in the white area. I'm like, I follow those rules.
No meta ever.
By the book.
So if you were on that football team who deflated the footballs, you would have just like walked out in protest because you would have been like,
Be on that team.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But if you,
they're the worst.
But if you were on that team.
If you like the Patriots, Kitty's representation is not represented. But hang on.
You're really competitive,
Bears,
Kitty.
All the way.
You're really competitive. So surely you would be.
Fairly. Yeah.
Okay, but fair I feel like surely fair. Your competitive edge would have.
But I would like to point out.
I don't know.
So deflating the football, that was cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Specifically against the rules.
Watching game tapes of the game of the team you're about to play, that's research.
Right.
Again, that gray area.
Meta.
But I think that most people agree that deflating the football changes is against the spirit of the rules.
Sure.
It's actually against the rules as it's written in the rule book. But watching previous games is not against the rules.
But see, here's the thing. But some people argue that the people who are truly great in whatever sport, competition, or whatever will find ways to bend and break the rules, and that's part of what makes them great. Discuss. Agree or disagree? Chris?
Bend, yes. Break, no.
Okay, we got
like, hardcore. Like, you want to be on the edge. Mm. Like, you can play, and if you can give me a solid argument about how that rule is not broken, I will totally go, okay, you found, like, fair enough. But then expect me to use that against you later.
Yeah.
So I think the difference.
If you can do it again and they're not going to get like, now you're cheating.
Right.
You know?
So if you think if the rules have been broken, then it should be broken for everyone and everyone should be allowed to do the new thing that someone's found.
No, they should get kicked out. They should be punished.
But can't the rules evolve over time? And isn't this a way of doing that?
It is a way of doing it.
Everyone agrees ahead of time. Right. No, if somebody does it first, that game doesn't count.
So. Well, actually, so to your question, and I hate to be talking about football in a board game podcast, but football is a good one because the rules change every year.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times they change because a certain team will develop a strategy and the league doesn't like that strategy. So they want to discourage it.
Right.
In the early game in the early days of the game, onside kicks could be basically guaranteed. And if you don't know football, I apologize. I'm going to get off this in 45 seconds. but there was a way that you could line up where you could almost guarantee that when you kicked off to the other team, you could recover the ball immediately.
Right.
The league didn't think that was in the spirit of the game, but it wasn't also not against the rules. So they changed the rules to say, nope, this is forbidden. You must have equal number of people on both sides of the kicker. That kind of thing is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, in a board game, the difference between research to me and getting to, like, before it becomes cheating is if I can get there by just playing the game, I think that extra research, that extra viewing other people play the game, talking about that, I think that's okay. Because I could have gotten there by just playing the game over and over and over.
Yep.
However, if I'm just going to like shortcut, I'm stacking the deck so that I can win, that is very much cheating.
Right. I see that.
It feels like cheating when one person has much more time to do the research, which is why in professional sports, viewing footage of the other team isn't cheating to me, because each team, like, this is their job.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
And both teams
can
do it.
They have equal access to everyone's game footage. Like, you can always watch that. If one person has to go to work for 4 hours and one person sits on YouTube and learns all the rules of how to stack the deck against the other person, all the strategies of if you do this, you will win. Honestly, that might not be cheating. That means it's a game I don't want to play.
Yeah.
So Kitty's
I get that.
This was
not
like
that I'm
3 years ago. Still
it was
bitter
not.
About it.
It was
yeah, we
might have been two.
I think it was 3 years ago. We were in the old place. But in any case, I think, and to try to keep this in the board game realm and out of the sports, watching.
It's the meta episode.
It is the meta episode.
Don't worry too much. As long as it's game related, I think it's all good.
The meta game. I think watching someone, like reading strategies on Dominion. You know, just throwing a game out there. These are the best card combinations. If they're available, get this. We were talking just before we started recording about like Agricola and Puerto Rico and how you know, these games are quote unquote solved. Here are your best opening strategies.
Right.
Chess, even.
Chess.
You want to start with the scholar's open or
this is one of the moves. Yep. This is how you start the game. That is a bit of metagaming. You're learning, you're playing the game, which is an odd way to say it, but you're not really experiencing the game. You're like, this is the mechanics of what has to happen for me to be in the best situation at point X in the game. I don't find it fun.
Chess to a 10-year-old and you're doing those moves, it just feels like you're being mean.
Yeah. So I don't know.
A little cheaty. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's nice is pushing other people, pushing their limits. So Kitty talks about Dice Masters a lot. There was a particular.
Because I'm so mad about it still. I never won. I lost every time, Josh. Yeah. Do you know what that's like for me?
So in this, so Dice Masters, if you're not familiar with it, is think of it as a Magic the Gathering, but you're rolling dice. Now there's a lot of differences there.
Oh man!
But you're basically setting up. Here's my team. Here's your team, and we're going to face off on those teams. So it's one on one, and I like that one on one strategy and trying to figure out how to beat the other people using different strategies. And part of the fun of playing a game where you get to build up your own deck and build up your own team is you want to see that team work out and get played the way you envision it. And if someone else just comes in and boom, 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 you're dead before you get to like do what you wanted to do, it can be frustrating. I couldn't
even buy my dice half the time.
Yeah. So it's you want to be on the same level of competitiveness.
I agree. Otherwise, you're not enjoying the game.
Combination of like a Magic the Gathering and a deck building, because you have your starter pawn dice, and you roll those to buy your better dice off of your cards.
Yeah. It's really quite brilliant. And honestly, the game that we're going to invent, our collectible living deck building game, we're going to base a lot off of Eric Lang's Dice Masters.
And Dice Masters might be a really fun game if I had time and had anyone to play who isn't Chris, who wouldn't just kill me immediately.
Well, yeah, but this is the thing, right?
And so, like, know what my dice were, know what I had, and set up against it because he knew what I was going to do. That felt a little metagame. You would watch me like sit there and play with my stack and then be like, oh, this is the deck I'm going to play against her, because you had like four.
I did not do that. I did not do that.
But what I'm hearing
maybe once
is,
I did that because her deck beat my deck, so I had to change my deck, but.
Okay, we know that you're a nice guy, Chris. It's fine. But what I wanted to say was, what I'm hearing is that you guys are saying that, we should try and make this somewhat fair. You know, you shouldn't go to the point of metagaming to where you kind of break the game. You're making the other person competitive, uncompetitive, and so that everyone's going to have a bad time. And I agree, when we're playing board games, often, you know, I think we should be making things more fun for everyone.
Right.
And not for one person. And so if one person is overpowered in some way because they've metagamed it, that's not fun for the rest of the people. Mm-hmm. And I agree, that is how things should be. Lots of people don't agree with you. And lots of people are hyper competitive. And we could extrapolate this to the world. This even extends to politics. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of things like...
We're not talking politics.
No, you think of things like gerrymandering, right? Where you can redraw the lines of districts so that even if you have less votes, you get more of the electoral...
It's a meta system.
If you get 2 million more popular votes, but your popular votes weren't spread out in the right way, you don't win the election, right? Yeah. And these things extend to lots of different games. And some people will say, well, this is a competitive game. This is a competitive sport. And the truly great people are going to advance this sport by breaking this game continually. Yep. And then we're going to decide what the new rules of the game
are. That's actually a great term that every once in a while, Josh comes up with great things. Breaking the game. Metagaming can break the game. And what does it mean to break the game? It means that the game, as rules are written, can be manipulated in such a way that it's not fair for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what happens when you break the game.
Yeah.
And that's what metagaming can do. And now that's not even talking about cheating.
Yeah.
Cheating is just a blatant act of breaking the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you can kind of do this fine manipulation of, oh yeah, you can do this, this, and this, and therefore I win. Okay, this game is no longer fun.
That only works, though, in pure strategy games where the setup is the same each time. And you can discover those moves. If it is a game with any kind of randomization, then it you can't do that. Like, you can't metagame risk. You can learn other player strategies.
Right.
But if you roll ones and twos every time,
yeah,
you're not going to win, no matter how much strategy you have on your side.
Although I will say I do a bit of metagaming with things like risk and basically anything where you can attack another player. It for better or worse, I will, and this is a dirty little secret, we're talking metagaming, I'll attack Josh over Kitty because I know Kitty will get madder if I attack her.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll retaliate. No. That's strategizing, though. I think that's metagaming, fine.
We'll let that go.
No, but
it's knowing the players. That's watching the game film. That's on the edge. That's there. Yeah, and as long, if it's a thing that you know that everyone at the table can figure out within like 5 minutes of gameplay, that's not metagaming. That's not cheating. If it is, you've played with me so many times, and Josh has never played before. Then it might be a little bit of an unfair advantage.
One of the reasons why I think it's still a metagame aspect is if you are avoiding doing something because of the way someone will react. Yeah. So it's an emotional reaction that's outside of the game.
Yep.
That is a meta reaction.
And I just want to say, Kitty, you're the one doing the metagaming right here. You have cultivated very cleverly and Machiavellianly over years this, you know, this reputation that if you cross me, I will kill you. So do not cross me inside or outside the game. I will find you. I will end you.
To be fair, it can be used against me.
Right.
If I'm stretched thin and someone attacks me, I try not to let it draw me into something. But like when, you know, you've got a lot of the board, you've got all of your pawns everywhere, and somebody attacks me, I'm just like, I want to get them back.
Right.
But I know that what I should do is fortify that I can be taken advantage of a little bit. But there.
See, if you're if it's in the game, I think that's a completely okay move. So the thing that, and you know, one of the reasons we're talking about this, and I think this is actually good for us to talk, is because it gets this out on the table. Like, we understand the kind of different players we are. But the emotional player is a tricky person to play with. And I'll go back to Werewolf. Most people have played Werewolf or Mafia or have heard us talk about it. We know what it is. When I accuse someone of being a werewolf, they will often get very defensive. In some cases, they can actually take offense to it. And they feel like this is a personal attack. It's like, this is a game. I am going to accuse every single one of you of not being trustworthy because that is what the game is. And if you
if you don't like that, you shouldn't be playing this game. It's not for you.
And I've had to like say, okay, I can't play this game with you anymore because you are taking it outside of the game. You are getting emotionally upset about what's happening in the game. And it's worth noting when that happens because if you don't know you're doing it, you don't know how to stop doing it when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Being mad at somebody for something they did in your dreams?
Yes. Oh, God. So I don't, I mean, I don't like making things unfun for people. And I know when Kitty feels like she's getting attacked, it's unfun for her. So I try to avoid it unless I can justify it's like my only move.
I think I'm good at leaving it at the table, though. Once the game is over, so, like, if you bring it back up again.
Talk about Dice Masters again.
I still went into business with you. We have gone so far beyond that. I'm just never going to play Dice Masters with you ever again. I think that that's leaving it at the table. And if we didn't have this podcast, I would have never thought of Dice Masters ever again. But because it is a gaming experience I have in my past, it comes up in the podcast.
Understood.
But yeah, like, but like, I don't actually hold a grudge against you. It's just, I leave it at the, I leave the games in the games. Maybe that's better, is that the game is the game and life is life. And I try not to intermix them.
Yep.
I mean, have you played with many people who really like, seem to enjoy doing this kind of move, this metagame move to kind of mess with people? I remember watching this one, small Ignite talk where this guy was a Scrabble player, like competitive Scrabble player, went to tournaments, and he liked to learn all of the Hawaiian words because they sound like crazy made up words. And
tons
play,
of vowels in them,
and play those because he knew he would get challenges from the other players. And they would be wrong. They would be wrong on their challenges. And so later in the game, he could then cheat and put down words that were incorrect, but they were frightened to then challenge him. And he loved that whole idea that some people think this is a game about words, but this is really like a mind game that I'm playing here.
So, but that's allowed within the rules of the game.
Right.
If it's not totally challenged, it's not cheating.
Yep.
Right.
So I think that is a very meta manipulation strategy. There.
Yeah.
That is an outside the game.
People love doing it, you know, to like mess with people. Like Spencer was saying, he likes to like
not challenge someone though. I will challenge like 18 times in Scrabble. Like just hold that dictionary there. Don't put that away.
But see, I think there's a penalty if you get it wrong, right? So there's a penalty if you get it wrong. In the tournaments, right?
Oh,
so this
is why he would do it that way.
Yeah, if you challenge somebody and you get it wrong, there is definitely a penalty to it. Otherwise, you would just challenge every single word.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm not a word game person, but I know.
Somebody, if you know, email us or I'll look it up maybe.
Yeah.
But depends on how motivated I am later.
Yeah.
I was thinking about people like this, and like Spencer likes to play Catan, and you know, you have
just
this
mess with people.
And yeah, and just mess with people. He says he's going to trade with someone a sheep and they've got a brick. I'm like, "Oh, I'll give you a sheep for a brick." And he just swaps a brick with them, and they've just swapped a brick. And he's like, "Yeah, it's, we didn't lose anything. We didn't win anything."
Of the game is you say, "I want sheep for brick." And they'll say, "Oh, I have sheep." And you say, "Oh, okay." And then you switch sheep for sheep because you didn't say, "I have a brick" ever. You say like just the sheep for brick.
Right.
So what is our consensus? Do we think metagaming is cheating? Or is it that gray area?
I like it. I think the great people push things to the boundaries. The great presidents bend the rules. This has been seen throughout history. And the great competitors also bend the rules in games. So I think it's interesting, and I applaud people who do it.
All right, Kitty. Pondering.
Long pauses are great for radio. sorry, guys. I don't know. If it makes me mad during the game, I don't like it. Like, if it feels like it's breaking it, I won't like it in the moment. But if it's something I feel like I can use to my advantage later, I will. So, I don't know. I think that it's best when the rules are clearly defined what you can and cannot do. Well-written rule books are, like, my favorite thing in the world. Yeah. So
I don't like when it's used personally, but I also don't consider it as cheating. Mm-hmm. And I'll go to Werewolf as an example, because it is one of those things where if you ever play Werewolf in a convention, we close our eyes, you take one hand, you tap your leg the entire time while everyone's eyes are closed. So there's noise and motion everywhere, and you can't really metagame what's going on. But some people will be talking when their eyes are closed. Well, the werewolves are supposed to be choosing somebody. And that is a meta thing, because now you know that that person's probably not a wolf because they're talking. You can hear their voices being directed to the floor, and they're just kind of goofing around. It frustrates me because it breaks the purity of the game. And I will express that it's frustrating. I don't think people should do that because you are changing the game. However, if someone's doing that, you can meta the meta game. So I can be like, okay, my eyes are closed and I'm tapping my leg and I have to pick a wolf. But basically, I'm just looking down and talking as I'm looking around and pointing at someone. So now when someone says, oh, well, you were talking at night, so you probably weren't a wolf. That's when it becomes even a bigger problem to me, because it's like, it's not about the game anymore.
It's metaception.
It's metaception. So I think certain games I like to keep pure for what they are. I think research on games, I think learning how better strategies and things like that, that just makes everyone better. If I lose to Josh because he knows the best strategy to, you know, Cosmic Encounter, or I don't know their strategy to that, but whatever the case, I will learn from that loss, and I think that's good. So
it's fine until it becomes a, I don't want to play Cosmic Encounters because Josh always wins.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Once you reach that point, I don't know if it's as much fun. But at that point with us, we're going to play a different game. That's still fun.
Yep. So I don't know if we've come to any conclusions. If you have people who are metagamers in your group, shoot us an email. Let us know how you handle them. Tell us what you think about metagaming.
Call them out by name on our podcast.
Yes.
Feel free.
But yeah, we want to know what you guys think about this topic. What do you think about metagaming? Is it a good thing? Should it be prevented? Should people be scolded in place? Maybe it's talked about after the game. What are your thoughts on it? So, and that is a podcast. We're at 59:20, just in time for Josh to do the outro. So.
Indeed. Well, thank you for listening. And remember, we love your feedback. So consider leaving us an iTunes review or email us with your comments and questions at tabletopgametalk@gmail.com. You can also reach us directly on Twitter at tabletopgametlk, and I'm at Josh's Blonde. Chris is at Game Master Chris, and Kitty is at Kittenelle. And if you like what you hear, help us spread the word by liking us Facebook and Twitter, and even better, share or retweet our posts. Until next week, when we talk about a topic one of you asked us to talk about, keep playing games and having fun.
And email us topics. Good night.